Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. Good morning. Let's pray. Living and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, for giving us this day and this time, O Lord. We thank you and praise you for what you had done for us on that cross, O Lord, and the living hope that you have given to us. We thank you and praise you, O Lord, for giving us the chance to remember you and take part in the table, O Lord. As we come before you today and at this time, O Lord, to meditate upon your word, please be with us, O Lord. Open up all of our senses. Help us to listen to your sweet little voice, O Lord. Yes. O Lord, please remember me as well, O Lord. I'm not worthy enough to stand here and speak about you, O Lord, but you have opened this door for me. I commit myself into your hands, O Lord. Let your words be spoken through me, O Lord, not my understanding, not my wisdom and knowledge, but your knowledge and wisdom will be presented before us today, O Lord, through me. Use me as your trumpet. I commit myself and this time everyone of us into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, the burden that I have on my heart, I want to share today. I don't know whether it's a complicated one or whether it's a simple one, but I just want to bring it before all of you today. And every time I come here, whenever there is an opportunity for me to stand here and share the word of God, I always think, okay, let's pick it. Tough topic or complicated topic. This is, I can do this, I can talk about the specifics of this, I need to prepare this much or that much. And every time within right before 2 to 3 weeks, God comes back and tell me, you are not going to speak about that, you are going to speak about a different, whole different thing. That had happened. This is the fourth time I'm standing here, and it happened all the four times. So I bring this to you. In front of you, the burden that I have with a heavy heart, and I feel like we need to take this seriously. And I'm sure I'm not experienced as the people who are sitting in front of me or the people who already went before me to discuss this topic. Many saints have discussed this topic before, but I just want to bring to your remembrance. Before going to that burden, I just want to lay a foundation. A foundation that every one of us know, a foundation that every one of us needs to remember, and a foundation that every one of us needs to understand. What is that foundation? Lord Jesus Christ is the heavenly vision for us and for his church. That heavenly vision has been presented to Paul on the road to Damascus. And that same heavenly vision has been presented to us through Jesus Christ when we understand what he had done on that cross. Right? The work of redemption has been done on that cross, which is once and forever for all of us. And we need to understand that heavenly vision is for us to transform us. And we have that through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have seen the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of living God, and we have been transformed into living stones for his church. That is the heavenly vision. That is the work of God, is to show us that heavenly vision through Lord Jesus Christ. But the work of the Father is not complete yet. Is it complete through the heavenly vision that Paul had seen on that road to Damascus? No, right? John, the apostle, had that vision on the island of Patmos. He had seen something not different, but it's a continuation what had happened on that cross, right? So there is a continuation. The work is still continuing when we look at our Lord Jesus Christ. The work of God is still going on. And what is that work of God that is still continuing? It is the will of God that his body needs to be built up until our Lord Jesus Christ comes back for us. So it is his will to build the church. And why he wants to build the church? It is for his son's sake. The whole theme today, it is for his sake. Right from the beginning of the word, when brother opened the word today. For whose sake we have been presented? It is for his son's sake. And this church has to be presented to Lord Jesus Christ as his bride. It is for his sake. And that is the will of God. And that is the continuation of the work. As far as the work of redemption, it is finished when Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. I'm just reiterating again. And the work of the church is still continuing. And that's the heavenly vision we also need to consider. Our Lord Jesus Christ has been taking care of us here on earth as Christians. He is our intercessor, like we had seen. Abraham interceded for Lot. Many had interceded for us in our personal lives. Even Jesus Christ, sitting at the right hand of the throne, interceding for us. He's not only interceding for us, he's also our high priest, sitting at the right hand of the God. And that Christ needs to be expressed through this continuous work of the Lord on this earth, which is the church. So what I just want to mention or lay the foundation is, we have a heavenly vision, which is still continuing, and that needs to be represented through the church, because that is the will of God, and this church has to be presented as a full-fledged bride to his son. So that is the foundation we all need to remember. Now, to present this church to the Christ, the work has to continue. What is that work? What is that work? And my intention today is to bring that in front of you, to express what that work could be. And I mean, we as I had mentioned earlier, we might have heard about this work many times, but I just want to bring it again in front of you today. And my intention to bringing it in front of you is because of these verses. I want to encourage everyone through the love of God, through the word of God. I want to stir everyone up through the love of God, through the word of God. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. And this is what I intend to do today. This is my intention. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So my intention is to encourage one another, stir up one another, and the reason is the day is drawing near. And all the more we do this, encouraging one another in love and good works of the Lord, the better. It is better to gather together and to encourage one another for love and good works, because the day is drawing near. Now, how do I want to encourage to love and good works? How do I want to do that? I want to bring before you a practical representation of what I want to do. So that practical representation, let's work with me while I'm doing this practical representation, while I work it together in front of you, right? Let's take a moment. So what you all can see here, you can answer. Grapes, bunch of grapes, like these are the grapes, right? These are really sweet if we eat. These can be used in many ways, especially in Bible. When we try to use them, there are many representations for grapes. But one exact point I want to bring in front of you all is, I want to crush these grapes as much as I can, right? Imagine you having lots and lots of grapes, vines of grapes, right? And what you try to do with that many of grapes, either you eat it or you press it in wine press and extract the wine out of it and you drink it, right? Today, what I want to do is the second part. I just want to crush it. Imagine this little stone is the wine press and this is the whole bunch of grapes. And let's see what happens, right, if I crush them. If I crush them totally as hard as I can, what happens? The juice comes out. It turns into wine as much as possible, right? I'm not that strong. It cannot turn into wine right now. But at least I'm trying. I'm just trying to represent here, right? So if I crush this, what happened to this? What happens? It's all crushed, mushy, right? See, the juice is flowing out of it, right? The juice is flowing out of it. What happened if there are human beings in place of these grapes and human beings are being crushed like this? Can you see that? Can you imagine what happens? Will you be able to see it, witness it, when human beings are crushed like this in a wine press? What happens? I mean, the blood flows out like wine, right? Do you think that same thing has been represented in the Bible? Anyone can guess where it has been represented in the Bible? Let's turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 14. And I'm glad that we sang that song to the end, Maranatha. Right? So it is really important for us to remember this when we are singing that song as well. Let's turn our Bibles to Revelation chapter 14 from verses 14 to 20. I will read. And this is why I represent. This is why I want to represent this in a practical way, because you need to understand the seriousness of it, what is happening in these verses. So let us read it together. All of us read it together, Revelation chapter 14, verses 14 to 20. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and seated on the cloud, one like a son of man, with a golden crown on his head, and a sharp sickle in his hand. And another angel came out of the temple, calling with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, "Put in your sickle and reap of the hour to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is fully ripe." So he who sat on the cloud swung the sickle across the earth, and the earth was reaped. Then another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, the angel who has authority over the fire. And he called with a loud voice to the one who had the sharp sickle, "Put in your sickle and gather the clusters of the wine of the earth, for its grapes are ripe." So the angel swung his sickle across the earth and gathered the grape harvest of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood flowed from the winepress as high as horse's bridle for 1600 stadia. Now do you understand why I want to represent this? Who are being crushed here? In the wrath of God. Who are being crushed here? There are two types of harvest here. One is, by the grace of God, we are in the first harvest. I'm really sure about it. I mean, there are different ways of representation for the first harvest. I just don't want to go into the details of it or different representations of it, because that's not the point I want to make here. But we are in the first harvest. Thank God for that. But what about the second harvest? Look around, people. How many of the people whom we know are bound to be in that God's wrath, who are going to be crushed as grapes, and their blood is going to flow outside the city of Jerusalem? Are you ready to see it? Are you ready to see it all? No, I'm not ready. When we are singing that song, all I can see is, Lord, I'm not ready to see my loved ones to be crushed. Look around. How many are bound to be crushed like this in God's wrath? Our families, our friends, our neighbors, our colleagues, how many people are there just in your community who don't know about the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay, for clarification, if anyone don't understand why I'm saying that people are going to be crushed, because their way is not according to Lot's way. We had seen Lot is bound to be dead or destructed in the fire. But what had happened? Abraham interceded for Lot. In the same way, there are many people in this world are bound to be destructed in God's wrath. So should we neglect them, saying that I'm in the first harvest, I don't care about them, or I cannot do anything about it because it's their choice, they're bound to be crushed in God's wrath. Should we neglect them? Or should we say that they are bound to be punished? I cannot do anything. Lord will take his course. The Lord's will take its course in some time. Whenever Lord comes, he loves everyone. He is going to save everyone. Can we say that? No, right? Or should we say there's a lot of time to reap that harvest and say there is a lot of time for them to be saved? Lord's coming can be delayed, and they can be saved when the time comes. And we continue with our own lives. Do you want to say that? Or I don't want to say it. Do we want to say that? No, right? Because we never know when the Lord is going to come. He can come next minute. Then what's going to happen to all of those people? If he comes next minute, we are here praising the Lord that we are going to be with him. But what's going to happen to those people who don't know about the Lord, who are around us? We cannot say that there is time for the harvest, that there is time for Lord's coming, and we can be sure about it, because Lord Jesus did not say that. Let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 4, verses 34 to 38. John chapter 4, verses 34 to 38. Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. So what Lord is saying, there is not yet 4 months. There is no time. We had seen in Hebrews that the day is drawing near. Then we need to understand that the harvest is ready. The day is drawing near. There are so many people who need to receive Lord Jesus Christ. And what should we do? If you say that the conditions outside the church is very tough, people are not open to listen to what we want to share, it is really difficult to share the gospel with them, then what is happening at Emporia? Life-wise, it is a living testimony right in front of us. People are receiving the Lord with open hearts. Kids are receiving the Lord with open hearts. What is happening in South Africa, in Middle East? What is happening in India, in Asian countries, in China, secret churches? Right? It's not difficult. Even in the States, the harvest is ready. Here in United States, everywhere in the world, the harvest is ready. We cannot say that there are difficult situations. Yes, there are difficult situations all the time. In first century believers, apostles, faced those difficult situations. Have you read Tortured for Christ, Richard Wurmbrand, during the Second World War, what he had to go through? The secret churches in Russia, in Europe, in Germany. The harvest is plentiful at that time too. It's not just us who will be facing the difficult situations. The harvest is ready right now, but there is something lacking. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. We see that harvest is now. It's not sometime. It's not something that is in future. And we see the harvest is plentiful. But there is one thing that is lacking. Let me read Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Who are few? Laborers are few. And as I had said in the beginning, the heavenly vision for the church is to build up the body. So it's not just the believers who are actually coming into the church. It's not only about them. It is also about the new ones adding to the church. I mean, the universal church, wherever they are, not just here in this fellowship house. So the harvest is required to build his body. And the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. To continue the Father's work on this earth until Christ's return, we as believers should become those laborers who go out and harvest the people who are ready to be harvested. God is calling us to be his co-worker for this harvest. God is calling us to leave the cares of this world, which are dragging us down, bringing us down, so that we can go out into this world and proclaim the gospel. It is not about coming, it is not just about coming to the fellowship, spending time around the Lord's table, worshiping the Lord. Those are all important, but there is another part as well that Jesus Christ himself is doing here, which is proclaiming the gospel. In these verses, it said, I think in verse 35, it says, Jesus went throughout all the cities, villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing and having compassion over the believers. So the gospel needs to be preached to this world. We as an individual and as church needs to share and proclaim the good news as well, like Jesus is doing. Teaching is important. Serving with compassion is important, but proclaiming the gospel to the people who don't know about Lord Jesus Christ is most important, because it's not Lord's plan to destroy anyone. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, it's Lord's plan and will to save each and every one of human beings that he has created. He don't want to send anyone into that God's wrath. So who he wants to use? He wants to use his church. Who is his church? We are his church. We are the individuals. So we need to come out of our comfort zone to accomplish the will of the Lord. We need to come out of our out of the comfort zone, and we need to be ready to go into this world and face the difficult situations. I'm not saying we all will face, and I'm also not intended to say that no one of us is doing the work of the Lord or sharing the gospel outside the church. No, we are all doing it. We are hearing the testimonies every time we get a chance to the people who we can. But we also need to go out as a church to share that gospel, because it's the responsibility of the church to share the gospel. We need to stop worrying about the cares of this world, especially the younger generation. I mean, if we look at the younger generation today, what you are concentrating on. Let us consider proclaiming the testimony of Jesus Christ to the people who don't know about it. Let us try to go out and work for the kingdom of the Lord. That is really important, to add people into that kingdom of the Lord. That's what apostles did in Acts as well, in the Acts of Apostles. No one stayed back, or no one were afraid about the things that that they are facing. We are reading through Acts now in our fellowship Bible studies, and we are seeing people going out and putting themselves in danger to share the gospel. Not just the apostles in the Acts. There are people who had done over the history. There are people who went before us, Brother Kong, Brother Buck Singh, Brother Nee. They all were very much put themselves out into this world. They were not afraid to face any difficulties. So when I was meditating upon this message that has been given, or the thought that has been given to me by the Lord, I remembered one song. And I always listen to this song. It always challenges me, and I thought this is for an individual introspection or examination. But when I was preparing for this, and Lord is revealing that this is the responsibility of the church, and it is His heavenly vision that the work of the church has to be done, I wanted to read that song to every one of you. It was in Telugu. I tried to translate it. Some of the brothers and sisters might know ni saksham edi ni bali arpaneedi. So I tried to translate it, and I will read it through, and you will understand what the apostles has to go through and what is our responsibility in this world, and how we need to be, what type of responsibility we need to take upon ourselves. So I always thought about this song, which challenges an individual believer, but this can be a song for the church as well. And we need to realize it is for the church, and through church, it is for each one of us. Let me read them, and you can read it from there as well. What is your testimony? What is your sacrificial offering? Having accepted the Lord Jesus, why do you still slumber? Having accepted the Lord Jesus, why do you still delay? Awake, arise, come, O believer. In the days of the apostles, amidst the pressure of tribulations, enduring all things, they won souls for the kingdom. They were stoned, they were cut in two. Having received the heavenly vision, they proclaimed the gospel. They were beaten with scourges, they were cast into dungeons, yet the shackles of the prison could not hinder them. As a living sacrifice, they fulfilled the service of the Lord. The gospel prevailed, and the church was established. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Jesus is calling you. Will you cast aside the Lord's call? I offer myself, spirit, soul, and body. Taking up my cross, I will follow thee. So we had seen what apostles had been through. And here the writer is also saying the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Are we ready to put ourselves in the shoes of the apostles? I'm not saying that we are apostles. We are the saints of the Lord, and the same privilege has been given to us. The Lord Jesus Christ is in us. He wants us to represent Him to this world. Now, looking at all of this, we understand that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. How can we, as a church or an individual, serve like apostles for the work of the Lord, for building up his body? How can we do that, right? The first thing I want to bring in front of you is, let us examine, asking us the questions that we had read there. Let us examine if there's anything missing from what Jesus had done in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. What Jesus had done in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35? He teach, he proclaimed the gospel, he had compassion and healing. So now, when we hear healing, we can think that it's a physical healing, but it can also be spiritual. Lord can use us in someone's life for spiritual healing as well. When we pray, actual physical healing comes in as well. But what I want to bring in front of you is the harvest needs shepherds and teachers, evangelists to counsel people, to teach the word of God, to proclaim the gospel. Let us turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4 and let us try to understand what the Bible wants us to do as the body of Christ to accomplish the work of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. When we are challenged in life through some circumstances, or when we try to examine ourselves if we are actually accomplished the will of God, our hearts tend to get discouraged. We think that we are not doing something as human beings, as the individuals of the Lord, right? But the beauty of the Lord is, he said, don't look at yourself. You need to look at me, right? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. So we don't need to depend on our own strength to do all of this work for the Lord. God's grace has been given to us already. We don't need to worry about all those things, right? We don't need to get discouraged. We don't need to think that I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. We just need to look unto the Lord and ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because his grace has been given to us. Not only his grace, Lord also gave us his gifts, right? Lord also gave us his gifts. Let's read verse 8. Therefore it says, in verse 11, it says, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the shepherds and teachers to equip saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So God has already given these gifts to the people of the church, to the people of the body. God already selected or put you in a particular position, gave you a gift to preach, to counsel someone, to proclaim the gospel, evangelist, right? It's not about holding positions like I'm the pastor of this church, or I'm the elder of this church, or I am leading this group Bible study. I have leadership over them. It's not about that. It's about proclaiming or showing the love of God and the works of the Lord to other people. And these gifts has been given to each and every one of us. So through those gifts, we are called to be in these roles, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. It's not only we learning from our elders, but it is also we teaching our younger ones wherever we go, right? Because having been equipped with these gifts, we can go out and proclaim. We can be a laborer and co-worker for the Lord's kingdom. So we all need to understand, and we all need to ask God, Lord, what is my gift in the body? It's not just about preaching, or it's not just about leading a Bible study, but it is also about working for his kingdom wherever there is need. It's about having compassion. It's about serving the need who are needy, right? We all need to ask God and know what is our gifts, what are the spiritual gifts that he provided for us. So he will equip us for the ministry and for the work of the body of Christ. And when we are trying to do that, when we realize or examine ourselves, and when we try to go to the Lord and get an understanding about this, we will be tossed up because of the temptations of this world. Satan will be ready to come and disturb us, to take away from the Lord, right? So we don't need to worry about all of that as well, Satan's craftiness or the deceitfulness, because Lord Jesus Christ is already there for us, protecting us. And what is the outcome of all these things for the church or for the individual? It is for the building up of the body of the church. The body builds itself up if the whole church comes together and equip ourselves for the ministry of the work of the Lord through Lord Jesus Christ. So let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So the body builds itself up in love if the work of the Lord and is for the body of Christ. Right? We want to work towards it as a church and as an individual, as children of God. If any of these things miss amongst the church, teaching, proclaiming the gospel, healing, serving with compassion, then the work of the Lord is hindered in his church. And we need to understand there is need for all of these things in this world. The work of the church must be whole. It should not be in fragments. So what we had seen today, we saw that there is heavenly vision of the Lord, and it is still continuing, that heavenly vision, until the Lord comes, and there is work for the church to accomplish as long as we are in this world. The heavenly vision continues today, and the work of the Lord is accomplished through his church. And we also had seen that the day is drawing near. There is not much time. There is no 4 months for us to just think it can happen in the future. The harvest is now. The harvest is plentiful. And if it's not reaped, it is bound for destruction. We had seen in Revelation chapter 14, the people we love, the people we see, are bound to be crushed under God's wrath. We as church, his body, called to be his co-workers for his work to be accomplished. So let us examine ourselves. If we are missing anything in the things that we had seen now, anything we are not doing, let's ask God to show those things for us. And let us examine ourselves. And let's come out of our comfort zones when we are in this world and try to work towards building his body as a whole and not in fragments. Now, where can we start? The first thing we can do is prayer. Matthew chapter 9, verse 38. That's what Jesus Christ has asked us to do. That's the first thing we can do, is to pray for the laborers to be sent out into this world. That's all we can do as a starting, but we can also examine ourselves as a church, and then as a child of God, Lord, what you want us to do? What is our gift? Where do you want to use us? How can we be a testimony to this world? And how can we bring them, bring the people who don't know about you out of that, not be part of that harvest who are bound to be crushed? Let's pray. Living and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, for giving us this day and this time. We thank you and praise you for showing us that there is much harvest in this world which is ready to be reaped, which is ready to be harvested, O Lord. We pray that we will be your co-workers, O Lord. We will work with you as your co-workers and be those laborers who can reap that harvest, O Lord. O Lord, if we look at ourselves as individuals, as human beings, we are weak. But, O Lord, we can find strength in you, O Lord. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. O Lord, we commit ourselves into your hands. Help us to look unto this burden, O Lord. Take this burden seriously and work for your kingdom and the work that you had intended for the church, O Lord. We commit every one of us into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen.